good to see our visitors here, and good to see people back that are able to be back. And just because they're back, does that mean we quit praying for them? No, not what that means, right? And that's why Brother Ken mentioned we need to keep praying for them. Okay, so today, it's going to be a little different today, okay? It's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. It's just a little different. I know I say different and Baptists cringe, right? It's what we do. We don't like different. So I've got two messages this morning, okay? And I'm going to preach them both, one and then the other one. So hang on tight. So Trey's in the upright position because we're fixing to fly through these. No, I'm kidding. And, you know, being sick, being at home, sitting there moaning and groaning, I tried reading some, and some of that medicine I take makes me groggy, and the words blend together, and I can't read, so I watch TV. I get so sick of TV. I get so tired of it. Commercials, I hate commercials. I despise commercials. But I saw a lot of commercials now, political commercials. Okay, telling me who I'm supposed to vote for president, right? That's what they're doing. They're telling me who's going to make a great president, and I got to thinking about all this and praying about it, that this year in November, we're going to vote for a president. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. It's not my responsibility. It's between you and the Lord. But from what I can see and looking at, we have a couple ways we can vote, okay? We can vote. You don't know what this is? You know what this is? This is a wallet, right? You could call it a pocketbook. You know, there's a lot of people in churches that vote their pocketbook. What benefits them best at work? How it's going to benefit them? What's going to get them more? Is that the way we need to vote? You know, and I'm not telling you how to vote. I'm just pointing some things out. We can't vote pocketbook. We can't do that. Why? If you vote pocketbook, who are you trusting in? If you vote for a certain person, and the two things we can vote for is not Republican or Democrat. The other way we can vote is this. This is what we ought to follow. God's word. Turn, if you will, to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, when we vote, there's something we need to remember. Sorry. In Daniel chapter 2, and I'm just going to read verse 21. Daniel is talking to the king here because the Lord has revealed a dream and the interpretation to Daniel. So verse 21, he's talking about God here, Daniel is. He says, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Who is it that sets kings up and takes kings out? Who is it that puts our president in the presidency? It's the Lord. That's who we trust in, right? Do we vote? I believe we ought to vote. I believe we should. But when we vote, we don't trust in the person we're voting for. Our trust, our faith, our hope is in the Lord. That's one message. Okay? I don't know why. That's been on my heart. It's been on my mind since I've been sick and seeing those commercials. So I give it to you now. Voting is between you and the Lord, not me. Not me and you. So, you notice the box, the table up here, right? So this message, I didn't know what to title it. So what I entitled it is a cardboard box message. Y'all have Chief's devotions that are brown bag devotions, right? So I've never done this before. So it's a little different for me. But I'm going to take my coat off because I'm going to get warm. But there's things in our lives, right, that we're going to go through. We're going to go through different things, and some things we're going to go through are going to be difficult, aren't they? They're going to be hard. They're going to be, we don't understand why we're going through them. And when we're going through them, we don't understand the outcome. We don't know the outcome a lot of times. We don't know why we're facing these things. And why, like Brother Darren talked about in devotion, that they had a plan. When they went to the hospital, they had a plan. And how many times do we have plans for our lives? But our plans change because of things, right? Their plan changed. And there's times that happens. So, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start reading in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times, wherein ye greatly rejoice." I'm going to stop there for just a minute. Do you rejoice in verses 3, 4, and 5? Do you rejoice in those? What the Lord's done for you, do you rejoice in that? So I'm going to open this box up. I have some things bagged up in here. Y'all know what this is? I have it labeled. It's flour. Have you ever ate flour? You ever tried it? And getting this put together, I tried everything in this box. Some of it is disgusting. Some of it was really good. One thing I noticed about flour, you know what it did? You know what it did? It sucked all the moisture out of my mouth. Every bit of it. I mean, I thought I'd cough now. That there was no moisture left. I had to get some water. I finally got milk to drink some milk to get moisture back in my mouth. But you think about it. There's things in this world. There's trouble you're going to go through. What's it going to do? It's going to take your joy away. You're going to go through those things, and you're going to face things in your life. And if you're not careful, just like this flower sucked the moisture right out of my mouth, your troubles are going to suck your joy right out of your life. Don't let this world take your joy of your salvation. And Brother Bowen mentioned it in Sunday school that David prayed and asked, "Lord, renew that joy." When you see that happen and you see your joy leaving you, where do you go for that joy? Not the things of this world, but you go to the Lord. You go to His Word and you get in His Word again and you read those verses that will help you, that will encourage you, that will strengthen you, that will give that joy back. Because we do, as it says in verse 6, "wherein ye greatly rejoice." But then he says, "though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." We're going to go through trials, as it says in verse 7, "that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice and joy with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." In our lives, we're going to face things, but where do we need to continue to look? Not at that bag of flour, right? It would be silly, when I tasted that flour and it sucked the moisture out of my mouth, to think I'm going to put more in because that will help. It'd be silly, wouldn't it? So how many times is it that the world sucks our joy, but yet we turn to the world for relief? And what does it do? Sucks more joy. We cannot turn to the world. We have to turn to the Lord. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We want to start reading in verse 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." This is some ways that we're supposed to behave. Ways that we're supposed to talk. We're not supposed to. It says there, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The Bible says, yet yea be yea and nay be nay, right? That's what the Bible says. And that's the way we ought to be. Y'all know what this is? It's not flour. This is baking powder. This is baking powder. You know what baking powder is used for in cooking and baking? You use baking powder because you're not patient. Right? Baking powder has the same reaction that yeast has, but it's quicker. You don't have to wait 2 or 3 hours. Baking powder does it real quick. It has 2 stages. When it gets wet, it produces, I forget what it produces, what the trees know what we breathe out. I forget what that's called. But then when you heat it up, it does the same thing again. That's what makes bread rise. You put baking powder in it. You know, baking powder doesn't taste very good. It doesn't taste very good. You can't hardly swallow it very well. It's nasty. It leaves flour, sucks the moisture out of your mouth. But you know what baking powder did? It left a film in my mouth. It took a while to get that film out of the top of my mouth. I could feel it for a long time in the top of my mouth. This is what sin does. You may get rid of it, but the effects are still there. You actually, you sin, well, it's going to hang around a little bit. It's going to hang around. The repercussions are there. You look at this. What he tells us here in these verses, to talk right. To use, he says here in verse 29, to use that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We're supposed to uplift one another by our words. We're supposed to help one another. Now, there are times, I know, that sometimes we have to go to one another and say, hey, what you're doing is not right. But you listen, we're still edifying. We're still lifting them up. Why? Because we're watching out for them. You do it in love and care. And the Bible says that if they respond, you have gained a brother. And that's what we want. But you look at verse 30, when we don't talk right or act right, when we don't put those things away in verse 31, then it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We're supposed to put all those things away and not react to those things, not have those things in us. But when we do have those things in us, verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. When we don't put those things away, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We quench the Holy Spirit in our lives is what we're doing. We need to put those things away, put that sin away. Just as that baking powder left a film on my mouth, sin leaves a scar on your life. Look, if you will, in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to read verses 29, starting verse 29. So far, we've talked about a couple things here, the flour, the baking soda, about the bad things in our lives, right? The things we're going to face, the things we're going to come upon that are going to hurt, that are going to harm, that we can't pay attention to, we can't focus on those things. We have to focus on the Lord. So now here in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29 It says, he giveth power to the faint. This is the Lord. God does this to us. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. When we're having troubles and we're having trials in our lives, we're going through things that aren't right. We're going through things that we don't know what to do with. And it's like Brother Darren talked in devotion. It was amazing to me. I was thinking about this message on Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday of this week. And then Brother Kevin preached Wednesday night to follow Christ. And that's kind of what we're talking about here. Then Brother Darren's devotion this morning in God is good. You know, he realized that God's got this. He's okay. When we're going through trials, we're going through hard times in our lives, the Lord sends us things and gives us reminders that the Lord is good. So, here it is. Y'all know what this is. Everything's white. Y'all can't tell what anything is, can you? It all looks the same to y'all, but to me, I got them labeled. Not that y'all can see, so I can know the difference. This is a bag of sugar. This is sugar. Sugar. Those I took a little bit of. This I took a spoonful. Sugar's good. We like sugar, right? Sugar sweetens all kinds of stuff up. It's good. It makes things better. I mean, I like sugar. I like sweet things. But you know, sugar is kind of like what the Lord does to us. He strengthens us. He helps us. He encourages us. There's times in our lives we're going through hardships, we're going through hard times, and you turn to God's word. Those hard times, those hard things. That's why when I first came here, I talked about promises. We need promises. If you don't have the promises of God's word, how are you going to get through those hard times? You're not going to. It's going to be more, it's going to be rougher. It's going to be hard. I don't like unsweet tea. I don't like unsweet tea. I can drink unsweet tea. I prefer not to drink unsweet tea. So I add sugar to my tea. It makes it more tolerable. I don't like coffee, plain black coffee. I add stuff to it, sweet stuff, make it tolerable. The Word of God, and you trusting and resting in the power of God, no, it makes all of everything seem better. It makes things seem easier. It makes the things we're going through in our life, you may not understand it. You probably won't understand it. It won't make sense. But it's okay. It makes it okay. Why? Because like Brother Darren said, you realize God is good. He's got this. You're going through hard times. What you need sometimes, one of my favorite movies, my kids give me a hard time because I don't like musicals. I don't like musicals, so this will not make any sense to you whatsoever. Excuse me, but my favorite movie is Mary Poppins, a musical. And one of my favorite songs that she sings is A Spoonful of Sugar. Helps the medicine go down. And a spoonful of sugar in this life, a spoonful of God's word, helps those hard times not be so hard. You think about that. They do. And we need the time. We need God's word in our life. You think about it. If we didn't have the flour or the baking soda, would we really enjoy the sugar as much? We wouldn't. We wouldn't. The good times seem so much better. Whenever I was sick and couldn't breathe and I felt awful, you forget what it is to feel good, right? Even though it doesn't take very long, you forget. And then when you feel better, it's like, oh, wow, this feels good, right? Your nose is all stuffy and you can't breathe. Then one day you wake up and you can breathe. It's like, wow, the whole world's opened up to you, right? That's the way those bad things are with the sugar. We need the bad things so we can understand and appreciate the good things in life. We need them. Look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. It says here, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. When you're eating a soup, vegetable soup, or you're eating almost anything, you ever ate something and it just needs something? It's lacking something. What is one of the first things you add to it? Salt. Why? Salt brings out the natural flavors, it's like, in whatever you're eating. It adds to it. It doesn't take much, right? It doesn't take much. You look at how much flour. That's 2 cups of flour. Not much baking powder, right? You think about this. Sin can affect our lives in a great deal of ways, can't it? Doesn't take much sin to affect your life, does it? Sugar, we need a lot of the good times, don't we? We do. But you look at this. The Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. Not much salt in there. How much salt at all in there, is there? Do you know, if there was no windows in this building, in this auditorium here, we turn all the lights off, it'd be pitch black, wouldn't it? It would be, pitch black. I remember going down to, Melinda was a little bitty, I think, when we went down to Mark Twain Caverns, I think is where we went. And we got down in the cave, way down in there deep, and you could see all kinds of things. It was neat. Then the guy said, hold on to your little kids, because I'm going to turn the lights off. So he turned the lights off, and you couldn't. I tried. He said, try it. You would think you could see your hand. I couldn't see my hand. Not even when I hit my nose, I couldn't see my hand. Pitch black. Then the guy lit a lighter. You know, I could see almost everything. It's amazing how much one candle put off that much light. What are we in this world? We're the salt of the earth. It doesn't take much salt to season something. Doesn't take much. Don't let the world tell you, I'm only one. I'm only one. How many men, how many people did God send back to the town out of the Gadareans? You know, the tombs there? How many people did he send and say, no, you can't come with me? How many? One. Right? One man. And the people of that town didn't want him, did they? They made him leave. We don't want you here. Leave. He sent him back, and the next time he came, how many people came to him? One man. One man made a difference. We can make a difference in this world because we are the salt of the earth. We are. We need to be what we're supposed to be. We need to follow in the Lord. Seek him. We do go through hard times in our lives. Look, those things, those hard times, those difficult times in our lives, the Lord's going to use them. No, the Lord's going to use them. The things you go through. You know, I wished I could have been at the hospital with Darren and Lisa because I know what Darren was going through. I know that. From personal experience, I know that. But I was sick, so I couldn't go. I knew how to pray. I knew how to do that because I'd been there in his shoes, not wondering, by myself with nobody there. I know what that is like. I know that fear. Trish had a miscarriage before Melinda was born. You know, and that was hard because you love that child. You love that child. Never seen that child. When she told me that She was pregnant. Did you know what was immediately there? Love. Love. Happiness. Joy. And then there was wonder. How are we going to do this? But love is there. And you would think that, how am I ever going to use that? How am I ever going to, why would the Lord put us through that? It was a few years later, my older sister had a miscarriage. We knew how to help. We knew what to do. We understood. And it wasn't we could do anything, we could change anything, but just knowing somebody else knows is a help. Somebody else has been through it is a help. Because they got through it, so can I. We are the salt of the earth. The Lord's going to let us go through hard times because he's going to use those hard times. He's going to use you to help someone else. Know that. Know that. If you will, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 37. Excuse me. Romans 8, verse 37 says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, don't know what this is. It's not icing. It's not good. It's shortening. Y'all ever tried shortening? Might as well just get some grease and put it in your mouth. Nasty. This too leaves a film. This too is disgusting. Very. You know, you make cornbread, right? You make cornbread. And my grandma, when I'm baking, this is what I do. I get some of the shortening, I rub it in the pan, get the pan all greased up real good, put flour in there, right, shake it all around. That's what my grandma and my mom always did, so that's what I do. Now they have this spray stuff you put in there. I don't know. I like this way better. It's what I was raised with. But what I notice with some of this, this just... You get it on your fingers, it's like grease. You know, you can get a little bit on your finger, but before long, it's just spreading all over the place. Everything you touch now has got this on it, right? It just spreads, it goes everywhere, it keeps going. Sometimes that's how we feel about the troubles we're getting in. Now, sometimes that's how we feel about the things we're facing, right? They just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. We don't know. It's overwhelmed, right? We get overwhelmed sometimes with things. And when I grease a pan, when I'm baking, I grease the pan with it. The first thing I do, I grease that pan all up. I don't touch nothing. I go over and turn the water on. I only grease it with one hand. The other hand's holding the pan. I make sure this hand gets no grease on it. Why? Because then I'll get it on the faucet, and before long, I got it on the drawers. I got it on the cabinets. I got it on. It just goes. That's how we feel sometimes when our troubles are on us, right? That everywhere we turn, there it is. Everything we do, there it is. When you think about this verse we read, what does this verse say? It says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors." Are you a conqueror? Are you a more than conqueror? But listen to the last part of that verse. Through him that loved us. How is it that we are going to conquer? You know, I could have that grease on my hands, that shortening on my hands, and pick up a towel and clean my hands off, right? I could do that. It's not going to clean them off very well. I'm still going to have that film on there. But now, where's that shortening at? Now it's on the towel. So now I pick the towel up and take it to the laundry room. Guess what? I got shortening on my other hand. You know, it spreads. And that's the way we feel sometimes with things, that it just keeps going. We need to remember, when we try and overcome things on our own power, we will not make it. We will fall. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how much of the knowledge and wisdom you have in God's word. When you try and do it on your own, you will fall. You will fail. Why? because we are not more than conquerors through us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38 and verse 39 is something we need. We need this. He says, for I am persuaded. Are you persuaded here today that God is good? That what he does is right? That his word is sure and true and pure? Are you persuaded? Not mostly persuaded, 100% persuaded that everything in that Bible is true. Are you persuaded? That's a good place for an amen, guys. You ought to be. You should be persuaded that his word is right and true and pure, and that what he does, he will use for your benefit. Because when we lose that, when we lose that persuasion, we're on our downhill slide. We're falling already. We cannot lose that. You lose that by getting out of his word. You lose that by stopping praying. Say, well, I still pray. Do you pray the same prayer every time? You can pray in the exact same prayer, and it means nothing. You got to talk to the Lord. Talk to him. Don't trust in your prayer. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're going to face things in your life that seem to overwhelm you, that seem to over, that just, there's no way out. I think I preached here and told you what that more than conquerors means. That more than conquerors, what that means is not a win. But it is such an unbelievable win. Your favorite sports team wins the game by 300 billion to nothing. That's what that means. More than conquerors. Overwhelming, unbelievable win. But how? Through him that loved us. Through the Lord. That's the way we're conquerors. That's the way we overcome. Not on our own, but with him. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to read verse 13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. You're going to face temptations, aren't you? You will. You're going to face them, and I'll tell you what the temptations are like. You know what this is? It's vanilla. Vanilla extract. You ever smelled vanilla extract? It smells really good. It does. I remember as a kid with my mom in the kitchen, she walked out and I was using vanilla. She told me, because when I cook, I eat things, you know. And I was using the vanilla and she said, don't you drink that. Okay. She walked out. So you know what I done, right? I got me a spoon, and I poured some in there real quick, and I took a bite of that. And from the other room, Mom said, I told you not to drink that because I was hacking, I was gagging. That stuff is nasty. It is gross. It smells so inviting. That's sin. That's temptation. I tell you, the sins that we're tempted with, those temptations that come on us, if this stuff smelled like it tasted, nobody in here would be tempted to taste it, would you? We would wonder if we wanted to use it in our recipes. How is it that you can put vanilla in a pancake batter and it tastes good? But you eat vanilla and it's nasty. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that sin in your life is good. But that's the way temptations are. They appear very inviting, but they will affect you in ways you would never imagine. You would never think they would affect that. It might have been a little different if I'd have got a little bit of spoonful, but it smelled good. I want a good spoonful of it. I've never done that again. I didn't taste it this time because I know what that tastes like. I don't want it. I had my kids in there, and I was showing them, not this time, but a long time ago. I only got one of them to try it. The other ones weren't going to after that phase. They were done. But I wanted them to see that sin, temptations aren't always, they're never what they appear to be. They'll always take you farther and cost you more than you're willing to pay and go. Always will. But one thing to always remember about those temptations that come on you, you don't have to succumb to them. There's ways out. The Lord said here, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Any temptation that comes on you, there's a way out. Do you know what the way out is? Do you know who the way out is? Jesus Christ. You look to him. He is the way out. Turn, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 2. It says here, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We need the milk of God's word. It's what we need. We need him to work in our lives. You know what this is? It's a cup of milk. Milk. Milk is good for you. I don't like hot milk. I like cold milk. I like milk. I'd rather have it just like that, white. It's even better if you have an Oreo, right? Dip your Oreo in it and eat it that way. I'm digressing there, but... you know, there's... I've read some parts in the Bible. I've been guilty of this, of reading some things in the Bible and come across the story of David and Goliath. Well, I know that story, right? So we can just skip it and move on past it. No. That's a child story, right? We say that a lot of times. They're children's stories. I'm someone's child. We need those children's stories. We need them. The milk that's in God's word. We never get too old for it. Sometimes when I am going through difficult times, when I'm facing something and I don't know what to do, you know what really helps me the most? It's the milk of God's word. It's the milk, that surety again of what God's done for me. Those things that we teach young Christians, we never need to forget them. Why? Because they help us grow. We grow in those things. We add on to those things. We continue growing. Don't ever forget those lessons you've learned from the Lord when you were young. Don't ever forget them. Build on them. Use them. As I said, when I tried the flour that I finally got milk to drink, because it was just, I couldn't get it out of my mouth. So we have the milk. We have the milk there that we need in God's word. We need to desire the sincere milk of God's word. We need to have a desire to read and to study and to follow his word. Look, if you will, in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And verse 6. Says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When we're going through things and we're facing difficulties in our lives, one thing we need to remember, that old children's song that we used to sing, he's still working on me. He's not done with me. I'm still breathing. He's got a job for me to do. He has something he wants me to do. He's not done with me. So you look at, y'all know what these are? These are eggs. Now, I hard-boiled them so they wouldn't break because I didn't trust me with them. Do you know, where do chickens come from? From eggs. They come from eggs. If these were fertilized and not hard-boiled, they would grow a chicken. They're not done yet, are they? They wouldn't be done yet. The mama chicken would set on those and keep them warm until they hatched. God's not done with any of us yet. He's not done. Don't quit. We sing the song about working. Now, I thought of the song, but now I can't think of it. Work for the Night is Coming. I don't remember if that's the right name of the song or not, but we need to work. We need to be doing, be following God, working, doing what he wants us to do. Why? Because he's still working on me. My life is not done yet. Your life is not done yet. We need to know that, be confident of this very thing, that he, Christ, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He will do what he said he will do. He will take care of you. He will continue to work on you, to build you up. If you follow him. We've got to put our life in his hands and follow him. Just like the eggs are not finished, our life is not finished yet. In conclusion, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 7. Says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This is what Paul is writing to Timothy at the end of his life. We're going to go through hard times in our lives. We're going to go through hard times. We're going to go through good times. We're going to have some wonderful times in our lives. We're going to face things that are difficult and are hard. But at the end of the day, at the end of your life, I want us to be able to turn around and look back. Say, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. That's what we need. Look in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. You know this verse. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that God is going to use everything in your life for your good and his glory? Do you believe that? Do you? We say that. We quote this scripture. But you know, if we used all this stuff right here, we would have a cake. Our life is like this cake. There's things that we don't want to eat by themselves in this cake. But when you get done at the end of your life and you look back, you'll see how God used the flour, the vanilla, the baking powder, all of those things to make something beautiful. Let God use your life. Give yourself over to him and let him use you. At the end of your life, I want us to look back and see a cake. That's what I want. I want us to look back and see that the Lord used us, that the Lord used me. I want to hear when I stand before the Lord, well done. How do I hear that? How is it I get to that point? By not focusing on the flour, the baking soda, the vanilla, not so focusing on all that, but keeping my focus on Christ, doing what he says for me to do, keeping my eyes on him. It's the only way. The only way. We need to know that everything in our life God is going to use for good. He will. Will you let him? Will you let him use your life today? If you're here today and you're lost, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need him. You're going to come to the end of your life one day too. You look back when you're lost, you're not going to see cake. You're not going to. You're going to see it's been wasted. You're going to wake up. You die lost. You're going to wake up in hell. That's where you're going to wake up. I don't want that. I don't want you to do that. I want you to trust the Lord and believe on Him today. Repent of your sins and believe on Lord Jesus Christ today. He promised He would save you if you would just trust Him. So, Lord willing, this would be a blessing to you. I've had this on my mind for a long, long time. But it never came together until this week. So I hope it'll be a blessing to you to help. Let the Lord use those things in your life. So when we get finished and look at the end, we'll see the beautiful things He's done with it. Okay? Thank you for your attention. If you will, let's stand. We'll have a song of invitation.